are trying times. These are strange days. In fact, I love the song. Have you heard that song? I've copied the words of the song. You may not be able to read it from where you're sitting, but it's entitled, In Times Like These. Here's how it goes. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. He's the one. This rock is Jesus. The only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I've been really reflecting for the last couple of weeks on this subject, in times like these. In times like these. Who had ever dreamed we'd be living in times like these? Strange to say the least. Today, good is bad and bad is good. And light is darkness and darkness is light. And bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Who would ever dream in times like these, men would be wanting to be married to men. And women would want to be married to women in times like these. Who ever thought that times like these, that men would be wanting to change their gender to become a woman. And women would want to be changing their gender to become a man. Let me just remind you, and I know their needs and I love people too, but let me remind you, regardless of what a person does to their gender, at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that is when Christ comes again in the rapture of the church, people, we will be raised, Christians will, and it will be based on the way we were born, regardless of trying to change our gender. And furthermore, at the great white throne judgment, when the dead should be raised, both small and great, according to Revelation chapter 20, regardless of a change of gender, it doesn't matter. We will still have our natural gender from birth. And these indeed are strange times. Again, where men are wanting to become women, women want to become men, and men are wanting to be married to men, and women want to be married to women. I've got good news. The Word of God does not change. It's the same. There's still victory in Jesus in times like these. And I dare say many of us today are stressed out. We've got a lot of things going on and a lot of problems and a lot of challenges in times like these. Will you say that with me? In times like these. One more time. In times like these. Well, I heard about one lady that was asked, how you doing today? How you feeling? She said, I'm not feeling good at all. She said, I'm feeling bad because I'm afraid I'm going to feel worse. You know, that's the way it is with us. How you doing? Well, considering the circumstances, how you doing? Well, I'm afraid to say I'm doing good because right when I say I'm doing good, I'm going to feel bad. Well, we shouldn't let the devil rob us of victory. I mean, we ought to say, praise God, in spite of what the devil's trying to do, I'm still loving the Lord, and I'm still walking with Jesus, and it doesn't matter whether anybody else is going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. Have you decided you're going to praise the Lord? Are you going to choose to lose? Are you going to say, I'm going to make a choice to rejoice? I would to God that all of us here today would make a choice to rejoice in times like these. We're going to look at a man who, in spite of the times, learned to praise the Lord, learned to thank God for His goodness. And I believe there's some three life-changing decisions you can make here today that will alter slash change your eternal destiny and your present-day circumstances. If you will make these three life-changing decisions, as we're going to look in the Bible today, and some of us need to do that. We've been walking around defeated and discouraged and maybe perhaps stressed to the max or at least full of anxiety. Times like these. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. In times like these, there requiring an anchor. 2 Samuel chapter 22, we're going to look today at a man, namely, whose name is David of old. David was the king of Israel. He had been king of Judah for 7 years. Now he is king of Israel, and some 33 years, approximately 40 years, according to scholars. And by the way, it was David, once ordained and anointed king of Israel, following Saul, I might add, a bad king. But at any rate, David had the Ark of the Covenant to come to Jerusalem. And we find in chapter number 5 of the book of 2 Samuel, first, he makes Jerusalem the political capital. Secondly, in chapter 6, he makes Jerusalem the not only political capital, but the spiritual capital. Chapter 7 of the book of 2 Samuel, he makes Jerusalem the eternal capital. In fact, if you read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, you'd find out that God made an eternal covenant with David. We call it the Davidic covenant. And by the way, it has not been completely fulfilled as of yet, but it will futuristically when Christ ushers in his millennial kingdom, when he shall reign with a rod of iron and his kingdom, there shall be no end. But we progress through the book of 2 Samuel, and David has already killed a giant named Goliath. He's faced another giant in chapter 21 of the book of 2 Samuel. This giant's name was Ishbibenob. And David, although he was up in age at around 80 years old, he had a giant-killing friend by the name of Abishai. Now, we piggyback on top of what I've just shared with you in the context of 2 Samuel. And that brings us to 2 Samuel chapter 22. If you'd like to stand as we read the Word of God, you may do so right now. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 22. In times like these, in times like these, what are we supposed to do? What are we doing today? Are we running around in the political Mickey Mouse mixed up and messed up world? I know last week you were watching and doing what God told us to do as salt and light. And yet in times like these, 2 Samuel chapter number 22, and please look with me in verse number 1, 2 Samuel 22. If you're there, say amen. All right, if you're there, hold up your Bible. I want to make sure you got your Bible with you today. Amen and amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I love you and I praise God for your hunger and your thirst for the Word of God. You know, when we get here on Sunday, we're going to get right in the Word of God and we're going to learn about the Lord and we're going to draw near to God. That's why we're here today. And you know that every Sunday is what a joy it is to serve the Lord and love the Lord. In verse 1, and. The first word is and. And the word and goes back to chapter 21. As I just alluded to just a moment ago, the events that have transpired in chapter 21. And notice chapter 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock. Would you underline verse 2? The Lord is my rock in times like these. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer in times like these. Verse 3, and the God of my rock. And the church said, don't you like that? I love that. Amen and amen. And he said, look at verse 3, the Lord God of my rock, in him will I trust. God grant it today for me and for your beloved people today. In him will I trust. Though all the world seems to be crumbling around us in times like these. Oh yes, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence in times like these. Verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Amen. So shall I be saved from my enemies when the waves of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of the temple and his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because of his wrath. Oh, yes, the Lord. There went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. And he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. Notice, skip over for the sake of time, verse 21 of the text. The Lord rewarded me, said David, in times like these. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. Hath he recompensed me? I want to tell you something, it pays to serve God. It does. It pays to serve God. Don't let anybody ever tell you anything different. But then look, he says in verse 22, for I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And then for the sake of time, skip down to verse number 47. By the way, you can parallel this particular chapter, chapter 22, with Psalm chapter 18. But come down to chapter 22 and verse 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is the Lord that avengeth me and bringeth down the people under me. And then I love verse 50. Therefore will I give thanks. Therefore will I give thanks. Say that with me. Therefore will I give thanks one more time. I will give thanks. Will you give thanks to God today? In times like these, will you give thanks to God today? In times like these, will you offer the sacrifice of praise? In times like these, will you rejoice in the Lord? In times like these, will you yield afresh to God who is on his throne? In times like these, I will give thanks unto thee. Look at it. Verse 50. O Lord, among the heathen, I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy unto his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. This is the word of God. And all God's people said, hallelujah for the word. Father, I thank you, the word of God. Oh, God is precious. Lord, I need it. I need it more than my necessary food. I need our Lord to bask in your presence, to fellowship with you, and to let you speak to me and change me from glory to glory. I'm asking now, oh Lord, to come in mighty power in every heart, and Lord, enlarge our coast. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, give us grace to break out of our prison of doubt and fear and insecurity. And dear Lord, help us too, oh God, in times like these, to see you and your glory and to see your mighty power at work. God, keep us from deception and keep us, Father, from delusion and keep us, Father God, from walking in the darkness. Help us to walk in the light as you're in the light and having fellowship with you. We love you, Lord, today. I thank you for your great love. I thank you for your precious cleansing blood. I thank you for the victory of the cross. I thank you, Jesus. You are on your throne. And times like these, God, you can be trusted. You can be depended upon. You hadn't let us down. And I pray we, though your people, Father God, would go out in this world as salt and light and the song, because, Lord Jesus, you are alive and you're coming again with life everlasting. So bless us, dear God, with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Bless us, Father God, with your fresh oil. Bless us, Father God. Renew our hearts and revive our souls. And God, lead us in the paths of righteousness. And Father, help us to be a blessing. Thrust us out in the highways and the hedges. The Lord, send us out as the army of the living God, with the bloodstained banner of the cross, shouting the victory, because you always cause us to triumph in Christ. I pray, dear Lord, you'll dissipate the clouds of depression and discouragement, and God would look beyond the here and now and see the hereafter that, Lord, you indeed are coming. And thank you, Jesus, you are going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. But until then, help us to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Be glorified this day. Change lives. Save the lost. Revive us again. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said, amen and amen. How many love the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. In times like these, I believe there's three steps that you and I need to take in times like these. Number one, in times like these, where are we to turn? Notice, in times like these, where are we to turn? That is, where are we to turn? That's found in chapter 22 and verse 2. In times like these, not only where are we to go, but number two, the second step that you and I must take as we derive this from the text is, in times like these, what are we to do? We'll find that in verses 3 and 4 of the text. And then number 3, not only in times like these, where are we to go? We'll see it in a moment. Number 2, what are we to do? We'll see it in verse 3 and 4. But number 3, not only where are we to go and what are we to do, but number 3, why are we to do what we're to do? Why are we to do what we're to do? We'll see that clearly in verse 21. And we'll skip down to that great verse we concluded, namely verse 50 of the text. Number 1, in times like these, where are we to go? I want you to zero in on the text again. Verse number 2 of 2 Samuel 22. Notice what Samuel and David said. By the way, this is a song. It's a song of praise. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. If you were to turn to the book of Psalm chapter 46, you'd find in the book of Psalm chapter 46, I love it. You need to meditate on Psalm 46. Will you write that down? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar in their trouble, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Be still and know that I'm God. Oh, in times like these, isn't it good to know that we can be still and know that God is God? Oh, do you know God is God? Hey, I've said, do you know that the Lord is the Lord? Yes, speaking of those songs, Dottie Rambo wrote this song. You know it. Nancy, you sang this song. Where do I go when there's no one else, nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is the sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. That's what David is saying right here. He said, where do you go in times like this, in times like these? May I suggest to you today that there are three places that people are turning today. Number one, kinship. Number two, friendship. Number three, lordship. Number one, where do you go in times like these? Some people are turning to kinship. And David, in fact, had learned about kinship. Thank God for kinship. However, in David's case, Absalom, his own son, usurped authority, undermined his kingdom. And therefore, David was running for his dear life. And ultimately, Absalom was killed. Yes. Where do you go in times like this? You turn to the rock. Kinship. What about friendship? David had friends like Saul, King Saul, who tried to kill David. One time David is sitting at the table with Jonathan and Saul, and because of jealousy of Saul, David had killed his 10,000. David had killed the giant. And Saul was jealous. An evil spirit came upon Saul, and Saul consequently took a spear and threw it at David to kill him, to pin him to the wall. Hey, here's a principle right here. Note, when somebody throws a spear at you, you don't have to pick it up and throw it back. I know that you want to, but David understood that Saul would come to an end in God's timing. How many believe that it's God that puts up one and it's God that puts down another? How many believe that on your job you might seem to get slighted, you might seem to get pushed down in your family, but God is the one that makes promotion. Promotion comes not from the south or the east or the west. It's God that puts up one. It's God that puts down another. In fact, Solomon wrote, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turns it whatsoever way he will. That's Proverbs 21 and verse 1. In fact, John wrote in the book of Revelation chapter 17, in the context of the false church, the apostate church, where we're heading in times like these, a false church, a false religion, a false gospel. Yes, Paul understood that in the book of Galatians when he said, you're preaching another gospel. In Revelation 17, 17, God had put it in the hearts of kings to fulfill his will. How many believe that, thank God, God's in control these days? Amen. Yes, the Lord allows one to be raised up, but ultimately everything's moving according to the divine providential will of God. Oh, yes, the wheels might turn slow, but nonetheless they're turning. How many believe you can take the Bible to the bank, brother? You can believe what God says. And in times like these, we can say, hallelujah, I've read the last page. Amen. I've read the last page. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I know what's eventually going to happen. I know that I'm kept by the power of God. I know that God's underneath me with his everlasting arms. I know that his all-seeing eye is watching every step that I take. I know that the Lord reigns, and blessed be my rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. In times like these, where do you go? You go to the rock. You go to the Lord. Jesus said it this way, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say do? And the Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Oh, yes, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I love that. That's John 14, 21. John 15 and verse 13. Yes, that is Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Yes, the Lord said, where do you go? Tell me where you're going these days. Are you going to Facebook first? Are you going to your Twitter account first? Are you going to your emails first? Are you going to the Lord? Take it to the Lord. David said this. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Last week I had the privilege of preaching down in Lake City, Florida at Northside Baptist Church, and I appreciate the prayers. When I finished preaching, I noticed, by the way, everywhere I go, y'all listen to me, y'all hear me now, everywhere I go, I was thinking just the other day, I've had the privilege of being in a number of churches in Florida, Georgia, South Georgia, North Georgia, in the last few months, and everywhere I go, this is what I'm finding. More and more people, God's people, are falling by the wayside. They're not serving God anymore, preoccupied with this. Everywhere I go, churches are dwindling down, attendance is going down, everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go. There might be some exceptions here or there. It tells me this, beloved, that there is a falling away. It tells me this, that the world, the flesh, and the devil is pulling on people today. It tells me this, if you're going to stand strong for God these days and not give into the flesh and the carnal life, you're going to have to swim against the stream. You're going to have to swim upstream, and it's going to take grace, mighty God's supernatural grace, to stand to be a spirit-filled man and a spirit-filled man of God, husband or dad or mom or wife. I'm telling you, there's a battle royal, but the battle is the Lord's. Stand, brother. It's not a time to tuck tail and to run from the enemy. If ever the people of God needed to stand, it's now like never before. Why? In times like these, God's calling for a remnant. God's calling for a people who'll be true to him, who will not go AWOL and buy into the popularity of the world and the carnality that's offered of the world. But thank God, I'm telling you this, so much more the day is drawing near. After I finished sharing the word of God last week, I saw a couple, an older couple. I say older, they were in their 50s. Somebody say amen. And they're 56 years old. They said, I talked with him, a man, his wife. And he had been coming to church for a couple of weeks. His wife had not been to church for years. She came. And for some reason or other, they came up to me after the service. I talked with him. I said, are you saved? Are you born again? He said, yes. It was about 4 years ago. He said, I've been in prison. I've been in jail. I've gotten in trouble. He said, but thank God Jesus has forgiven me, and I'm on the right path. I said, well, glory. And then I looked at her and I said, how about you? Are you really saved? She said, well, when I was 11 years old, I was baptized. I looked straight at her in the face and I said, did you understand it? And that's a question that you need to ask today. Did you understand it? You say you were saved at this age. You say you were baptized at this age. But I can attest to the fact that when I was 13 years old, and this is what I told her, that I did not understand it. I was going through the motions. And it was later in life, at the age of 21, that God really transformed my life. I looked at her and I said, did you really understand it? She said, not really. She said, I work all the time. She said, as a matter of fact, I got to go to work now. She works at old times. I said, save me a plate, amen. Save me a plate at old times. But I'm telling you this, in times like these, later I found out, and I'm not being critical, I'm praying for her, but a lot of people, according to her husband, shared with me, she's battled with prescription drugs for years and years and years. And y'all listen to me, look up here. It's not just the heathen who aren't saved that are battling with prescription drugs. It's Christians. I'm not saying that all the time it's unnecessary, but I'm saying many of the times it's a setback. It could be a setback. Now, I know sometimes it's necessary. I'm not denying that. I'm not negating that. But, brother, there's a lot of mind-altering drugs, opioid drugs, that cause us, and I know at times you can't help it, but there's sometimes you can help it. And those things are really addicting, and I'm finding, and I'm not being critical, I'm just telling you, the enemy will use anything to get us out of the will of God. He'll use anything. He don't care what he uses. If he can't deceive you into going to a place called the eternal lake of fire, we call it hell, then he's going to attempt to wreck your testimony. And he don't care what he has to do. He'll lure us away with good things. He'll get us out of the will of God. He'll get our mind jammed with a bunch of junk from television, computer, and all this technological advances. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, where do I go? Where do I go? Number one, where do I go? I go to the rock, thank God, of my salvation in times like these. In times like these, David knew that he had to go to the rock. You know that David was stressed out. You know that David had pressure on every side. Paul put it this way, with trouble on every side, yet not in distress, perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. I'm telling you, some of you are feeling the pressure today, like we all are. The stress, the pressure of this world and the things that are going on with our health and the things that are going on all around us. In times like these, there's an anchor. In times like these, notice, in times like these, where do we go? And why do we go where we go? Can I tell you why you ought to go to the Lord today? Let me say it again. Let me tell you why we ought to go to the Lord today. Not kinship, not friendship, although all those things are good, but lordship, lordship. Yes, lordship. Why? Because I don't know anybody else that can give us peace in the middle of a storm like Jesus can. Is anybody going through a storm today? Yes, you are. Why should we go to the Lord? Where do we go in times like these? I'll tell you, I don't know anybody else that can promise deliverance. I love the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and here's what he said. Now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do more than even we ask or think. God is surely good. In fact, if you look at Daniel, the life of Daniel, he's able to deliver you and me from the mouth of the lions. And I'm not lying. Hey, look at Daniel. He didn't just start praying. When the king sent out a decree for no one to worship any other god, Daniel had been praying. It was his lifestyle. Amen. And therefore, he set his face like a flint, looked to Jerusalem three times a day. In spite of the king's decree, he went to his devotion. And then he went to the den of the lion. But yet, God delivered him. You'll notice in the book of Daniel chapter 6, in the days of the king of Persia. Yes, God is in the delivering business. I'm so glad he is. Take the three Hebrew boys who didn't bend, they didn't bow, and thank God they didn't burn. Nebuchadnezzar said, when the trumpet sounds, you're going to bow down to my idol. Oh no, we're not bowing, we're not bending, and thank God if the Lord doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down to your idol. I like that, don't you? It's one thing. Hey, listen, by the way, today people say they want to use God as a spare tire. They want to use God as a crutch to lean on. But God delivered those boys. The other day, we parked. I was over in Social Circle sharing the Word of God, and we parked right beside a vehicle. I got out of the vehicle, our vehicle, Brother Jimmy Dracos and I. I looked, and the tire was flat on the vehicle right next to us. I looked at the tire. A piece, a chunk of metal had stuck in the tire. I said, my soul, I wonder whose vehicle that is. Well, went inside and shared the Word of God, and lo and behold, it was one of the residents there, granddaughter. She had a little baby with her, and we walked out to the car together. And, listen, she had one of these pump-up deals that you plug it into the cigarette lighter, and man, that thing pumped it right up to get her home. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, God can pump you up when you get flat and you get, you get something in you. Where do you go in times like these? I'm telling you. Oh, yes, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Will you go to God today? Will you cast your burden on the Lord today? Will you say, Lord, I can't handle all of this problems? By the way, look up here. Look up here. Can I tell you a great prayer to pray? God, help me to accept the things I can't change. Give me your peace. And the church said, but Lord, there's some things I can change. Give me your power. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. But not only, Lord, there's some things I can't change. Give me your peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But, Lord, give me the power to change the things I can. And thirdly, give me your presence to know the difference. You know that little old saying that the Lord quickened this, rearranged it, altered it a little bit. Where do you go in times like these? I'll tell you, you go to an anchor. Number two, the second step you can take today, and I can take today, is not only where do you go, but what do you do? Notice here in the text, in times like these, what do you do? Not only where do you go, but what do you do? I want you to zero in on verse 3 and 4. Look at the text again. Verse 3 and 4, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and my horn and my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. Look at verse 4. I will call on the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. Will you call upon the Lord today? I said, will you call upon the Lord today? What do you do in times like these? You need an anchor. Can I tell you, and you already know this, beloved, the devil's trying to sift us like wheat. Jesus said to Simon, 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 Satan had the desire to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Your faith fail not. Your faith fail not. Say that with me. Your faith fail not. Say it again. One more time. That's the key. That's the battle, is it not? Do you agree with me? That's the battle. It's a battle of faith. Am I going to believe God? Am I going to trust God in spite of what's going on around me? In times like these, yes, in times like these, what are you to do? What are you to do? I suggest two parts to what we're to do. Number one, we're to notice, put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. If you look back in verse 3, you'll see that very clear. The Lord God is my rock, in him will I trust. Question. Are you putting your trust in the Lord? You say, but I don't know if I'm going to have enough money at the end of the month. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fix all this. Hey, y'all, look up here. Men know what I'm talking about right now. How many of you men know, and probably women as well, but me being a man, I can certainly relate to this. If you're not careful, when you got a home, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Man, if it ain't one thing tearing up, something else is. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about. And it's every time you turn around. And if we're not careful, I said, if we're not careful, I said, if we're not careful, it can cause us to have a bad attitude. Oh, yes. No wonder Paul said, finally, brethren, once things are true and honest and just and lovely and of good report, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And I know you ladies know the same thing. I'm just referring to some of the things that, listen, in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the challenges and the things that tear up and the things you need to do, bless the Lord. We got a refuge, bless the Lord. We've got a relationship with God that will sustain us in the midst of the storm, in the troubling times, when we got heavy burdens on our shoulder. Am I preaching to anybody today? Is there anybody here today? Say, Pastor, man, I've been going through a lot of burdens, and I'm just telling you, it's about to weigh me down. It's about to take me down. Hey, in times like these, what do? You trust the Lord, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And our Lord put it this way. Whatsoever things you ask, believing, you shall receive. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that smallest little seed, you've got to have faith of a, if you have faith of a mustard seed, say to this mountain, be thou removed, plucked up, and cast in the sea. If you have faith of a mustard seed, he said over and over again, I've not seen so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel, to the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15, to the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. Where he had distant healing. You don't have to come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. I've not seen so great faith in all of Israel. You want to please God? You want to impress God? You exercise faith in God. That's what honors the Lord. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Say that with me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Say it one more time. Do you believe that? That's the word of God, Hebrews 11, 6. So the question is, am I going to believe God? Am I going to trust God? Am I going to let my feelings control me? Am I going to let my circumstances control me? Hey, look. Jesus said to the man in Mark chapter 9, after descending down from the Mount of Transfiguration with his disciples, only to meet a demon-possessed boy. And the daddy was needing help. Desperately, there is a defeated disciples who were defeated, and yet there was a desperate daddy and there was a deadly demon, but there was a divine deliverer, and it was our Lord who looked at the man and said, do you believe? The man said, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Isn't that our prayer at times? Oh God, I believe, Lord. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Give me faith to trust you. In fact, Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 3, God gives us a measure of faith. In fact, in Romans 14 and verse 23, I believe it is, that anything that's not of faith is sin. That's what God says. Do you know that? In fact, over there in the Corinthians, the letter, Paul said, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen to me, beloved. That's why I need to be in church, where I can hear the word of God. That's why I need to be around God's people. Have you noticed when you miss church for a long time that you feel W-E-A-K, W-E-A-K, weak? Church, I'm not talking about legalism here. I'll be honest with you. I need to be around the people of God. This doesn't negate your personal study with the word of God. This doesn't negate your personal time with the Lord, assuming that you're already doing that. This is in addition to my time with the Lord every day. This is above my time of spending the word and be around the people of God and to be challenged in the word of God. There's a big saying I was thinking on the way down the road today. I heard it last week several times. Who needs the church? That's a big question nowadays. People who once were dedicated to the Lord and served the Lord, who needs a church? I know a lot of people right now, I'm not throwing rocks, I'm not being critical. I know a lot of people right now, and you do too, that though they're more than likely saved, they're missing out blessings serving the Lord, missing out rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a legalistic thing that I must check out. It's like, man, I can't just eat one meal 7 days a week. I've got to eat on a daily basis. And there's something about when we gather together with the blood bought, the blood was. It's something about when we praise the Lord together. It's something about, watch this, when we exercise those God-given gifts. Somebody says, I don't need the church. Really? Somebody says, I don't believe in organized religion. Really? Well, wait a minute. Let me remind you, the Lord's coming back for his church. Not a building, mind you, but the blood bought, the ecclesia, the called out one. I know when we start preaching on this, you know what people think? You done gone to meddling now, preacher. No, I'm just telling you what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, so much more as you see the day approaching. That was the theme all last week. and this meeting that I had the privilege of preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and this is the theme, and this is what I'm seeing. Who needs a church? I don't tell you who needs a church. I need the church, and you do too. Why? You let the bottom fall out, brother. And I've been with people, and you have too, have no affiliation of church. They have no connection with Christian friends. And it is and not always, but it's a sad, sad day when you got a crisis or when the bottom falls out. And if you live long enough, that's going to happen. It's a sad day when you don't have that body of believers to pray with and to support and to encourage. As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. How many of y'all believe the Bible? I believe it. Do you believe there's a judgment seat of Christ? Do you really believe that after the rapture, then we'll stand before the judgment? Do you really believe that? It's in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, the judgment seat of Christ. If it's in the Bible, that means it must going to be happening. Well, when's it going to happen? After the Lord comes back again. Well, what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? I'm going to have to give an account. You're going to have to give an account. What you've done with the spiritual gift God's given you. Bottom line, can I get an amen? That's what the judgment seat of Christ is about. Some will suffer loss. Some will be rewarded. You say, preacher, you're trying to manipulate it. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. My job is to come as the mailman and deliver the mail. Now, what you do with the mail is up to you. But I'm telling you that when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to say, God, unworthy as I am, undeserving as I am, I sought to try to share the truth in love. And Lord, even though I missed the mark many times, I don't want anybody's blood to be on my hands. I don't want their blood to be on my hands, Lord. They may not like me. They may talk about me. By the way, my wife told me one time, you know, our wives will keep us straight. Can I get an amen? My wife told me one time, when something was going on, she said, somebody was saying something, and she said to me, she said, everybody don't like you. How many know that'll bless you? Amen. Glory. I said, well, I don't like everybody. No, I didn't. I said, praise God. I'll tell you what, people don't like what I have to stand for. But you know I love you, and you know I'll do anything for you. You know that, don't you, church family? I can't compromise the Word of God. I'm going to preach it like it is. But if I can ever, ever, ever do anything for you, you know I will. You do know that, don't you? How many believe that? I will do anything for you. It doesn't matter what it is. You fall into sin, I'm going to be right there with you to help you up. And I expect you to do the same for me. I'm not going to throw rocks at you. I'm not going to bash you. I'm not going to criticize you by the grace of God. Because there I go, yet by the grace of God. We're in this thing together. Amen. Oh, we need each other. I said we need each other. We really do. I need you. You need me. We all need each other. But more than that, we need the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, look, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what Larry preached last week. And with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He should direct your path. But not only trust in the Lord, but look at this. What are we to do in times like these? We're to put our trust in the Lord. Will you do it now? Will you do it now? God, I don't know about this relationship, but I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to put it all on you. And then call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Look at verse 4. I will call upon the Lord. In times like these, will you put your trust in the Lord? Hey, I know that. Y'all listen. I know we know that intellectually. But the question is, are we really casting our care on the Lord? Are we really holding on to stuff in our life that we say, I need to pray about it, and I want you to pray about it, and we kind of carry it around, and we come to the altar or whatever, but maybe we don't, but maybe we do, but we're still holding on to stuff. We got to continually let it go and lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Just release that burden. Yep, those things that's been bothering you. By the way, what's bothering you? Not what you're eating, but what's eating you. What's eating you today? What's eating you? Think about it. What's eating you? Is it your job? Is it things you can't change? Is it getting older? Is it frustration because of a relationship? Hey, call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord right now. We were at the Waffle House last Sunday night, a week ago. And Brother Burrow, Pastor Burrow at Northside Baptist Church, and we're with a couple. And they came and met us there after the service on Sunday night. And we sat there at the table, and this dear couple, they poured their hearts out to us. And here's what they said, in essence. I wouldn't call their name, although it's not a confidential matter. But anyway, they said, and tears began to stream down that mama's face, and tears welled up in the daddy's face. I was sitting right beside him. I could feel his pain. I could look in his eyes and feel the hurt. And here's what he was trying to say to me. He was saying, I never would have dreamed, Brother Pastor, never would have dreamed our child would have turned on us like this. Never would have dreamed they got in a relationship and now they pretty much discommunicated themselves with us. And the hurt and the pain that Mama and Daddy were feeling being excommunicated from their biological heir, their offspring. And so they began to pour their heart out. And God said to bear one of those burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. And some of you today are hurting. And some of you today, right here at New Rocky Creek, you've got a heavy load. And that's where we can take it to the Lord and call upon the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I do not know anything else this side of heaven that will lift my burden like the Lord. Amen. Take your burden to the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord. Somebody finish that statement. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. If we trust and never doubt, He will surely bring it out. If take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Well, I've got to finish up here. Notice the last part of what I want to share today. The third step is this. In times like these, where do I go? I go to a rock. I go to a fortress. I go to the shelter. I go to the omnipotent God. I know I go to the God that's got the wind under His feet and the waves under His feet. Yes, and in times like these, what am I to do? I'm to trust the Lord. We saw that. I'm to call upon the name of the Lord. Will you do it today? And then thirdly, in times like these, why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? It's coming home now. It's coming home now. Yes, it's coming home. Number one, how many want the blessings of God in your life? I'll be honest with you, folks. This is one of the most challenging things we face these days is the blessings of God. How many know that it would have been sure nice to just keep them covers up as cool as it was this morning in that warm house and just stay in the bed this morning, all right? Can I get an amen? You know it would have been just nice just to pull them covers up to your head and just sleep a little longer. But wait, I want the blessings of God. I know the Lord blesses. I know the Lord blesses, and that's what I want, the blessings of God. Check this out, verse 21, look at it. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath He recompensed me. There's the blessing of the Lord. God, yes, it pays to serve the Lord. Yes, it pays to pray beforehand. Yes, prayer changes not only things, it changes us. And the psalmist said, I want the blessings of God. That's why in times like these, I take it to the Lord in prayer. That's why in times like these, I cast my burden on the Lord. That's why in times like these, I need to know what to do. And I should trust the Lord. You should trust the Lord. But why? Because. Why? Why? Because of the blessings of God. Secondly, because God's been good. God's been good. Look at verse 50. Therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord. I will give thanks unto the Lord. Why do I need to go to the Lord? Why do I need to call upon the Lord? Why do I need a rock and a refuge? Because God wants us to give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Will you give thanks unto the Lord today? Will you give thanks unto the Lord today? I wonder today, as we wrap this up, would you stand to your feet? And as we think today about this in times like these,